1 is officially in the books. Welcome back, everybody. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. And week 1 was something. Did you have a tight end? Probably wasn't good. Quarterbacks, not great. Overall passing games, not great. So crazy how we go through these months and months of making cases for players, analyzing everything, why they will be good in 2024. And they have one bad game the first week of the season. And we just overreact to everything. But it happens. But waivers, huge for this week. Reactions, huge for this week. And now that week 1 is officially in the books after Monday's game, let's break it all down. Let's revisit what happened in week 1. This is the week 1 recap show here on the podcast, presented, of course, by Circa. Once again, sponsoring the program. Play Circa Millions or Circa Survivor contests today. I mean, 5 games against the spread each week. Sounds easy, but then you see things like things that happened like on Sunday where the Patriots upset the Bengals. The Falcons lose at home to the Steelers. Wouldn't call that a massive upset, but the Cardinals were giving the Bills a run for their money. Sounds easy, but if you want to go to play Circa Sports, you can enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for the details. But let's get to this recap. There's so much to break down. And we'll start in that Buffalo game that I mentioned. Bills, they go down 17-3 early in this game. Come back in the second half, ultimately win 34-28. Josh Allen. It's really, 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 really good. Really good. He had 2 pass attempts at the 2-minute warning of the first half. It's a really weird start to this game where Arizona was controlling the clock, had long, sustained drives. The Bills were really successful running the ball, but there was a point where they were almost doing it too much. And then Josh scores, I believe, a rushing touchdown before the half. And from then on, it was the Josh Allen show. Finishes with 18 of 23 passing, 232 yards, 2 touchdowns, adds 39 rushing yards and 2 more touchdowns on the ground. Yeah, I mean, it was the Cardinals defense, so take that for what it's worth, but didn't really skip a beat without Stephon Diggs. I thought Keon Coleman looked really good. He made some plays. Khalil Shakir, like he always does, made plays. And of course, the rushing is still not going anywhere. Had that hurdle touchdown where was getting his non-throwing hand taped up, probably in some pain, but he was fully cleared not only to return, but to practice this week. He's good to go for Thursday's game against the Miami Dolphins. Not much to say about Josh Allen. He's the best quarterback in fantasy. And real quick Bills fan tangent. Anybody that said he was overrated, I don't understand. I said this, and it's tough to take my opinion too seriously when I'm a Bills fan, but there's not a better player in the NFL outside of Patrick Mahomes than Josh Allen. It's just that simple. It's really that simple. So enough with the madness. I don't know why he keeps getting disrespected. He's the best player on the planet outside of Mahomes. The rest of this offense, though, we didn't get the touchdown, but James Cook, you have to like the usage here. 22 of 28 running back touches for the Bills, over 100 scrimmage yards, multiple goal-to-go carries. He had a goal-line carry where, of course, he didn't score, but you like to see it. And he's now averaging, since week 11 last year when Joe Brady took over the Bills offense, he's averaging almost 20 touches per game. So he did lose some third down work to Ty Johnson, who's limited in practice right now on a short week. So if Ty Johnson doesn't play, maybe you get even more work for James Cook. But he looked good. He's a must-start running back. And then there's a lot of concern about Dalton Kincaid. And it's frustrating, right? Probably spent a top 6 round pick on him. First of all, tight end was just an absolute mess in week 1. We know that. Every tight end was pretty much bad. So take that for what it's worth. Then you have the fact that Kincaid still played over 83% of the snaps. 11 more routes than Dawson Knox. Was on the field a ton. And the Cardinals doubled him a lot. Like, there was a play that I retweeted on Twitter. There was one play where Dalton Kincaid literally had a 4-man box of defenders against him in the middle of the field. There was a second play where he ran, I think it was a slant on like third and medium, was open at first, but then the safety came down and crashed. So there was bracket coverage as well. Josh Allen pumped, scrambled, and threw it to Shakir for a first down. And then you have the fact that, yes, he only had two targets. He caught one pass for 11 yards, but it didn't help that the Bills had two passing attempts leading it, going into the two-minute warning of the first half. I am not concerned about Dalton Kincaid at all. There was also plays where they were trying to scheme him. Like, there was plays designed for him that just didn't work out. There was a play where he lined up in the backfield on Josh Allen's rushing touchdown where he hurdled the defender. That play was designed for Dalton Kincaid. He lined up in the backfield. James Cook was also in the backfield. Cook motioned out wide pre-snap. Kincaid did like they tried to hide him behind the defense, and he released into the opposite flat, and the Cardinals just covered it really well. But there was multiple plays that were clearly designed for Dalton Kincaid. I am 0% worried about Dalton Kincaid. Same, and that's not just to say about it, like, it's all the tight ends, right? It's Andrews. It's all these elite tight ends that disappointed week one. I'm not really worried about it at all. Then Keon Coleman. I was really surprised how involved he was right out of the gate. The Bills have kind of talked all offseason about how he's coming along and he still has ways to go, but led the Bills in snaps, routes, and targets. I thought it would be him that was kind of eased in, not Curtis Samuel. You wonder how much of that had to do with the fact that he had the turf toe in the offseason, but Samuel only played, I think, like 17 snaps in this game. And when they were in three wide, it was Coleman, Shakir, and Mac Hollins. So, yeah, that's really encouraging from Keon Coleman. He had that nice play down the sideline, the 30-yard catch on the back shoulder throw. Like, I was pretty encouraged. Not saying you'd go out and start him in week two, but that was really encouraging from Keon Coleman. And then for the Cardinals, looked like Kyler was in line for a huge day, but he slowed down. The pass rush got to him. Greg Rousseau had three sacks. Von Miller looked good. James Conner, I think, had a touch on the first six offensive plays for the Cardinals. DeMarcado mixed in on some third downs, but you know, James Conner's in for a massive workload. And Marvin Harrison Jr., everybody's worried about. Look, it was a really tough matchup. The Bills and Rasul Douglas, they've been good against outside wide receivers. The middle of the field's where they're probably more vulnerable, especially without Milano and now without Taron Johnson. But Rasul Douglas played awesome in this game. And yes, people are going to talk about the wide open play at the end of the game. Like, when he was that wide open, Kyler had no chance of throwing it to him. He was scrambling all the way to the left. Didn't love the fact that there wasn't a ton of like versatility in his role. It was a lot of vertical routes. But they'll learn from that. I'm not worried about Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Atlanta Falcons. They win this one 18-10. Weird game. There's a lot of weird usage in this game outside of Bijan Robinson, because that's what we've been waiting to see, right? Bijan, first game in this new offense with the new regime. 23 of the 26 running back touches, 5 targets. He played 90% of the snaps. His highest snap share in a game last season was 81%, and the 23 touches were a career high. So, yeah, the offense wasn't good. That's a little concerning. We'll talk about that with Kirk Cousins in a minute. But the volume was awesome. The pass catching role was awesome. Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey is hurt right now, but there was two players we talked about all offseason that could rival McCaffrey as the top running back in fantasy. Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson. Robinson showed us nothing. I mean, he scored, what, like 16, 17 fantasy points without even scoring a touchdown. So, love to see that. Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown, and he dominated the snaps. He was a full-time player, finally. There's nobody really there that he's, you know, losing snaps to. So, you love to see that. But I'm a little worried about Kirk Cousins. The key quarterbacks that I was watching this week were Rodgers and Cousins coming off the Achilles. Kirk Cousins looked really bad. He looked uncomfortable. He looked really hesitant to even move out of the pocket. And that had to have been part of the game plan, because ESPN's Field Yates tweeted out a stat about the next gen stats where apparently the Falcons were out of the pistol or the shotgun on 96% of their snaps. And they had one play action pass. That really reminds me of what the Bengals offense looked like weeks 1 through 5 or weeks 1 through 4 last season when Joe Burrow was recovering from the calf. Except it's even more extreme because it's an older quarterback coming off a more serious injury with Kirk Cousins. So that can make their offense a lot more one-dimensional and predictable. Takes away the entire element of play action if Cousins isn't comfortable turning and moving out of play action. So Drake London had a bad game. I'm not moving him down rest of season because of the bad game. I'm moving him slightly down. Not like egregious, but like I would probably have like Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith over him after what I saw in week one. And he was going well ahead, not well ahead, but ahead of those guys. Because I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to be last year's form before the Achilles. Like that was really concerning to me, their offense. And it's not just the fact that they scored 10 points. And yes, it's a good Pittsburgh defense, no doubt about it. But it's the way they scored 10 points. And the appeal with Drake London and Kyle Pitts was we're projecting them because they finally have a quarterback. And I don't think Kirk Cousins is suddenly bad, but there's a possibility we got way too excited and not thought about what he would look like. And that fact that they just didn't do any play action and were exclusively in the shotgun or the pistol, that tells me Kirk Cousins isn't quite himself. So I think that can kind of just put a cap on this offense. For the Steelers, it was weird. I think George Pickens played like under 70% of the snaps. I don't understand that. But the good news is 31% target share. Had a couple really explosive plays on the field. Not worried about him. Justin Fields got the start at quarterback. He didn't score, but had 56 rushing yards, I think. 14 carries. Since 2022, Fields is averaging 11.3 carries per game. We'll see if he starts next week, but I would lean probably that he does. We'll see, though. You know, if he starts, then he's going to be in that like high-end mid-range QB2 range for me. The backfield, though, for Pittsburgh was pretty tilting. Najee Harris got 20 carries. I think he only had 20-plus carries in a couple games all of last season. And then the usage from Jaylen Warren was interesting. So Warren played like 30% of the snaps. Harris, looking at the advanced data hub, 57%. And then Cordarrelle Patterson didn't play a massive amount of snaps, but he played enough on third downs and stuff to take Warren out of the game. And it's possible that Jaylen Warren with the hamstring wasn't 100% healthy. But it's also not surprising to see Cordarrelle Patterson get involved a little bit with Arthur Smith there. Warren only had, what, 2 touches in this game? 2 carries in this game? So, a little worried about that. We'll see next week, especially if Warren gets a full week of practice in again. But definitely like to see closer to what we had last season. Like, I still think at the end of the day, remember that first preseason game? It was the split between Warren and Harris was literally what it was all last season. It was identical. And then Warren had the hamstring. I expected to get back to that. But again, 4 carries for Patterson, 2 for Warren. I would assume he just wasn't 100% and he'll be good to go next week. Miami 20, Jacksonville 17. Not much from the Miami side. They just have a bunch of really good players. Tyreek Hill, 7 for 130 and a touchdown. He's amazing. Over 100 yards for Jalen Waddle. Still don't love the fact that all of the... Like, obviously, you should design your offense through Tyreek Hill, but I want to see at least a little bit of the scheme stuff go to Jalen Waddle. I think he only had 5-6 targets in this game. Tyreek Hill was targeted on like 35% of his routes, which is like where he was last season. So nothing's changed there. They have Buffalo on a short week where if Devon Achane is playing, I worry for the Bills. Achane, 10 carries, only 25 yards, but he scored, converted a goal line carry into a touchdown. And then the usage in the passing game was awesome. 7 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. 2 goal line snaps. Like I said, he scored from a yard out. And he played out wide or in the slot 14 times. He had 26 routes, which was top 5 among running backs. Designed screens. And what we just saw with how the Bills were attacked by the Cardinals with James Conner and passes over the middle, you know, really, really challenging the linebackers outside of Terrell Bernard, I don't see how they stopped Devon Achane on Thursday night, especially without Taron Johnson as well. Now, he limped off the field late in the game, estimated practice. They didn't actually practice on Monday, but he would have been estimated as a did not practice. Same with Raheem Mostert. Mostert was kind of like in and out of this game. I think there's a chance that they could actually miss. I don't view the Monday practice report as anything that's like, you know, telling. But because it's a short week and we did see Achane limp off, like I wouldn't be shocked. But just something to definitely keep an eye on. But I think, but this again, they don't have a wide receiver 3, right? Odell's out. Malik Washington's a rookie. Devon Achane is pretty much operating as the RB1A for the Dolphins and the wide receiver 3, where there might be some games where he is the wide receiver 2. That's cheat code. And now he's starting to get some goal line work. It's cheat code. Absolute cheat code. For Jacksonville, are we worried about Travis Etienne? Both Etienne and Tank Bigsby with 12 carries. Etienne scored a touchdown. And then he was in route to scoring a second. Had the ball punched out, like at the 3-yard line. Ball goes in the end zone for a touchback. And then Tank Bigsby looked pretty good. 12 for, what, 73? 75? I don't know. I don't know if this was just he was playing well, Etienne fumbled. Soon as next week, it's back to Etienne getting 70% of the work. But something to keep an eye on for sure. Like obviously, the top waiver ads at running back, you know, Jordan Mason, if he's out there, Zach Charbonnet, etc. But like, wouldn't, especially if Etienne's on your team, it's not even a discussion, but like, wouldn't hate the idea of, because he'll go under the radar with all the, you know, higher name players on waivers this week, wouldn't hate the idea of going out and adding Tank Bigsby. And then, like, weird game because, like, all offseason, and rightfully so, we all were saying, yeah, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram going to dominate targets, and that was not the case here. One catch for Ingram. Kirk was bad. He had, like, 2 bad drops in this game. Gabe Davis was pretty solid. Brian Thomas looked pretty good, had the touchdown. Almost had a second touchdown, but Jalen Ramsey kind of, like, collided with him in the end zone. They got called for DPI. But Brian Thomas kind of proved what I said all offseason was going to happen. He had that touchdown in the back of the end zone from Trevor Lawrence where he got his 2 feet in. And I've said it for months. Brian Thomas Jr.'s sideline awareness, especially in the end zone, is unbelievable. And it's why I thought he was going to lead this team in end zone targets as a rookie. He had 2 in this game. Yeah. I'm not quite there yet about putting him as the wide receiver 1 for this team. But it might not take more than 2-3 weeks for that to happen. So I'm not, you know, freaking out about Kirk yet. But I was also at the same time just really impressed with Brian Thomas. This game, oh man, Saints 47, Panthers 10. I was fooled. And it's on me for thinking Carolina would be different this year, for thinking Bryce Young would be different this year. I was fooled. Terrible. I have nothing to say about Carolina. There's going to be weeks where you want to start Deontay Johnson as a flex or a wide receiver 3 in PPR leagues. Hopefully Jonathan Brooks gives them a spark when he comes back. But this team stinks. I really hope Bryce Young turns it around because I was so high on him and Dave Canales. It's only one game. They're on the road, whatever. But to look that bad, it's massively concerning. And their defense, man, really, really bad. Brian Burns obviously gone. And now Derek Brown's out for the year. Really bad. Let's go to the Saints, though, where, again, it's against Carolina, so we'll see when they face Dallas next week, for instance, but everything we wanted to see from the Saints was there. The offense looked way better. They were 31st in the NFL in pre-snap motion last year. Sunday, they were like 70-plus percent pre-snap motion. Play action, they were towards the bottom of the league last season. Derek Carr last season, 14.8% play action drop back rate towards the bottom of the NFL. On Sunday, Derek Carr, 40% play action drop back rate. Rashid Shaheed, great game. Like Chris Olave is the easiest buy in fantasy. Two catches for, 11 yards in a game that was over by the start of the second quarter, pretty much. Just understand that what we saw from the Saints offense in terms of the scheme and the play designs and everything, that's going to allow Chris Olave to have some huge games when they actually need him. And it's probably going to be as soon as this week against Dallas. I know it's a tough matchup, but I'm pretty excited about, I'm as excited as you can be about a player who just had two catches for 11 yards as possible, just based off what I saw from the offense. The offensive line is still a concern for when they face teams that can actually, rush the passer. But I loved what I saw from Clint Kubiak. We've been waiting for this. Been waiting for them to use more motion and play action. And we got it. Alvin Kamara had 20 touches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Three goal line carries were the most in the NFL for week one. I don't know why I'm getting ahead of week three already. And then don't worry about Jamal Williams. He had 11 carries. Eight of them came in the last four drives of an absolute blowout. Taysom Hill got some usage as well. The tight ends as a whole, Foster Moreau, Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson, all kind of got used. But like what I saw from the Saints, really did. Chris Olave, go trade for him. Don't even hesitate. Go trade for him. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, more recaps of all of the games from week one, including one of the ugliest offensive games of the week between the Bears and Titans. Talking about a more enticing game after that with Houston and the Colts. And of course, more games recapped here on the podcast. We'll be right back. See you then. Bears 24, Titans 17. Absolute collapse by the Tennessee Titans, who are up 17-0 in this game. And I think they said, after Brian Callahan said, listen, if we just went 3-and-out and punted the rest of the game, we would have won. And I don't think he's wrong. I know they did allow a return touchdown. But yeah, this was ugly on both sides for offense. Will Levis looked unbelievably bad. Had the worst interception you'll see maybe all year. Returned for a pick six. He had one play where he snapped the ball and immediately slid to the left into pressure. Perfectly clean pocket. And that was the problem last year with him. His pocket presence was laughable. So that was terrible. DeAndre Hopkins was limited. I don't really want to start him the rest of the season. Like, he's playing on a torn PCL or MCL. Like, no thank you. The main takeaway from the Titans is the backfield. All offseason it was, it's a 50-50 split. It's a 1A, 1B situation. And that was the case in the preseason, but it wasn't the case in week one of the regular season. Tony Pollard out-touches Tajay Spears 19-8. Spears did essentially get, he got third down work and that's it. He played 93% of the third downs. The team didn't even get a snap as a whole inside the 10-yard line, so we didn't really get to see who was the goal line option. I would assume it's Tony Pollard, but after the game, Brian Callen said he wants to see that running back split tighter. So maybe not what we expect to see going forward of, Pollard out-touching him to that level. But we do know Tajay Spears is playing the third down role. He played, like I said, 93% of the third downs in this game. Yeah, but he was, Will Levis was terrible. And other side of this game, Caleb Williams wasn't great either. Under 100 passing yards, no touchdowns. Missed a lot of throws. Didn't help that Keenan Allen dropped a surefire touchdown. I talked about this in the week one preview episode. Two defenses that we expect to be better. The Bears were already improved last season, but especially the Titans. I think the Titans defense will be improved, but I also think the Bears, and honestly the NFL for the most part as a whole, just passing wise, wasn't there on Sunday. Roma Dunze, he's got a sprain, MCL. He's week to week. I would probably, 1 to 2 weeks, he'll probably be out if I had to guess. Keenan Allen had 11 targets in this game. DJ Moore left for a little bit, but he came back. So if Roma Dunze is out, all the targets continue to go to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Maybe we see more 12 personnel from the Bears. But still, like Cole Kmet, he ran 12 routes in this game. Gerald Everett ran like 20. Like I was telling you for months, do not draft Cole Kmet. Don't start him. Maybe he has a couple decent games with Rome out, but no thanks. Really, really bad. Houston 29, Indianapolis 27. This game is a lot more fun. Joe Mixon, 30 carries, 159 yards and a touchdown. He handled 33 of the 37 running back touches, and he looked good. Looked like a much better fit for this scheme than Damian Pierce ever did, that's for sure. The offense looked good. The Texans ran like 70 plays in this game. So that helped. Like the Texans takeaways are pretty easy though. Like you're pretty much starting everybody. You know, Schultz is like a fringe, you know, tight end two, high end tight end two. I don't really like him, but like Mixon's a must start. Nico Collins on that 55-yard catch where he mossed two defenders, led the team in targets, must start. He had over 100 yards in this game. Stephon Diggs, interesting usage of him. We'll talk about it in a minute. And then Tank Dell, he was the one player that didn't have the great game, but you still love the route participation, the targets on the routes he got. But yeah, Stephon Diggs, two touchdowns in his Houston debut. Interesting usage from him. He played in the slot like 70% of the time. 70% of his routes came from the slot. I mean, essentially used like Wandell Robinson. 1.5 average depth of target for Stephon Diggs. 1.5. And like, it sounds bad, but like when you have Collins and Dell who are so good vertical route running and vertical plays, you don't need Stephon Diggs to have a massive ADOT. Let him be a massive mismatch for linebackers and coverage out of the slot and get those third and four conversions and get 5 yards. I think his second short touchdown came on like an out route from a couple yards away. Like people talked about Stephon Diggs, like, oh, he's washed. And like his vertical stats were really bad last season. Like in terms of EPA per target on post and go routes, like it was really bad, but guess what? He doesn't have to do that in this offense. So yeah, the Texans look great. The offensive line looked pretty good too. They are at home Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears next week. For the Colts, Anthony Richardson completed just 9 passes, but he didn't matter because he had over 200 yards. He had probably the best throw you'll see all year on that touchdown pass to Alec Pierce. That blew my mind, the arm talent that he displayed in that game. Had some missed throws too. Had A.D. Mitchell wide open for a touchdown that he just missed. But he also had 50-something rushing yards and a touchdown. The regression on a fantasy points per dropback basis has not hit just yet for Anthony Richardson. Continue to start him. Jonathan Taylor had like 95% of the snaps and like, oh, I think he had 100% of the running back carries. Wasn't overly efficient, but he scored. You're starting him every week. And Michael Pittman, down game, but I still think he's a clear focal point of the offense. I'm not too worried about him just yet. I think that's it from this game. Let's move on. Vikings 28, Giants 6. Not many takeaways from here either. The Giants are really bad. Really, really bad. Turns out we're going to be wanting to stream. We're going to want to be streaming defenses against the Giants. For the Vikings, though, Sam Darnold, I think he started this game like 12 for 12. He looked good. Justin Jefferson probably would have had a monster game if the Giants had put up a fight, but he still scores. And the target share for him is going to be massive because Jordan Addison left this game with an ankle. If he misses time, with Hockenson already out, like, Jefferson's going to have like a 30-plus percent target share most weeks. Aaron Jones looked good in this game, 14 carries for 94 yards and touchdown. Did see Ty Chandler get in there, but again, a lot of that could have been game script as well. But yeah, like the Giants defense, not especially on the back end, not very good, but it was really encouraging, especially if you have Jefferson, you have Hockenson coming back, that Darnold looked as good as he did. And I thought Kevin O'Connell schemed up some awesome play designs, which doesn't surprise anybody. So that was good to see. Chargers 22, Raiders 10. J.K. Dobbins back? 10 carries, 135 yards, and a touchdown. He had runs of like 46 and 60-plus yards. And everybody's talking about the fact that he got caught and the fact he didn't score is concerning and he's a sell-high candidate. And like, you can definitely sell high on J.K. Dobbins if somebody's out there really interested. Don't get me wrong. But you also have to think that as much as, you know, Greg Roman may like Gus Edwards, like in this game, Dobbins played 58% of the snaps. Edwards played 35%. 11 carries for Edwards, only 26 yards. Dobbins also played all the, he got all the routes on third down. He had 3 catches. You have to think he gets a little bit more involved each week. And they play Carolina next week. I'm starting J.K. I'm in a league where I could use a second running back. I'm starting J.K. Dobbins with a lot of confidence, which scares me a little bit, but we saw in the preseason, man, like this Chargers offensive line with Slater and Zion and now Joe Alt, they're creating massive lanes. Like, I think they were top 5 or top 3 in the NFL in preseason yards before contact. To actually pull up the yards before contact in this game. Yeah, Dobbins averaged 5.8 yards before contact per attempt in this game. He was stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage on just 10% of his carries. Avoided tackle rate? Again, it was only 10 carries. It's not like he had 25 carries, but the fact that he's healthy and can do that still is an accomplishment to him. And if he can become a 15 to 18 touch running back, going to end up being one of the best values on draft day. We didn't see, I think Edwards or Dobbins' touchdown came from like 7 yards out. So we didn't see a true like goal to go scenario for the Chargers in this game. You would lean towards that being Edwards still, but Dobbins got the one from inside the 10 and scored. So it's good to see. Ladd McConkey leads the team in targets. Josh Palmer drops a touchdown, then gets ejected. So I still like Josh Palmer, but Ladd McConkey, good to see that involvement. But yeah, J.K. Dobbins clearly the talking point of this team for week one and this game for fantasy for sure. I mean, like, give him 15 touches against this Carolina defense. It's probably going to be pretty good. So I'm doing my rankings later on today. I'll be interested to see where I have him ranked when it's all said and done. I also wouldn't drop Gus Edwards or anything like that. But even like Dobbins coming off all of these injuries is just far more explosive than Gus Edwards. It's not even close. For the Raiders, these are the games you're going to get when this offense is this bad. I mean, Adams gets a lot of the targets, floor game, but not much else. Brock Bowers looked good, played a ton. Pretty easily going to be second on this team in targets, most likely. So encouraged by him. I was a little bit lower on him in the draft process. Not the real draft process, but the fantasy draft process. But that usage is pretty encouraging. Adams, again, like these are some of the games you'll have. I'm sure he'll have some games where he has 10 for 135 and a touchdown as well. But Zamir White, I'm worried about. Like, he out-touched Alexander Mattison. 13 carries, Mattison had 5. My problem is, the snaps weren't great. I think they split the first down snaps in this game. That's a concern. And he already wasn't playing third down snaps in the preseason on a team that's bad. I think Zamir White's season's over. I really do. I don't think that's an overreaction. Like, the appeal with Zamir White is he averaged, what, like 22 carries, 22 opportunities per game without Josh Jacobs last season. But, and the Raiders, I mean, like, they lost the game 22-10, but they weren't down by, like, 14-plus. They were still within reach. Like, he had less than 60% of the rushing attempts in this game. The whole appeal of drafting Zamir White was he was going to get all the carries. So, yeah. Definitely worried about Zamir White. 1,000%. Let's move on to the Broncos and Seahawks. Seattle wins this one 26-20. Weird game. Like, the Broncos had multiple safeties in this game. Weird game. I don't have a ton of takeaways here. The Broncos, like, the rookie quarterback struggled this week. Bo Nix was terrible. He was so bad. There was one pass that he threw immediately when the ball was thrown. I think it was Adam Archuleta on the broadcast. Just said, oh no. Like, immediately after the ball was released. He was so bad in this game. Nothing vertical, which you kind of expect. Jaleel McLaughlin had 5 catches for a yard and a fumble. It was gross. Now, the running back situation, it was kind of like a full-on split in terms of the snaps in the situations. Like, it wasn't like just all of Jaleel McLaughlin's snaps came on third down and 2-minute drill. Like, they kind of split it pretty evenly. And I still have interest in McLaughlin, especially in full PPR league, especially if this team's this bad and with them not being able to throw the ball down the field. But we also might have just overlooked how bad this offense could be because they have nothing at receiver outside of Courtland Sutton. Nothing. Marvin Mims is done. You know, Troy Franklin's nothing at this point of his career. They obviously don't have Tim Patrick anymore. Like, they're bad. Seattle, though, good game from Ken Walker. He was playing like 80 to 90% of the snaps in the first half. And in the second half, he has the little abdomen issue. The snap share went down a little bit. Charbonnet got the wide open wheel route touchdown. Walker was good, though, over 100 yards and a touchdown on 20 carries. We'll have to keep an eye on his status. He said after the game that he's good. Obviously, Charbonnet would become a top 20 weekly running back if Ken Walker was out. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And then wide receivers. I mean, of course, everybody was excited about DK. Everybody's excited about JSN in his second season. And Tyler Lockett led the team with 77 receiving yards on 6 catches. Tough matchup for Metcalf. He did see mostly Patrick Surtain, which was expected, but yeah. Lockett just continues to be overlooked, and he's probably going to end up having 1,000 yards after we all assumed he was done, of course. Tampa Bay and Washington, the Bucs win 37-20. If you streamed Baker Mayfield against this awful Commanders defense, it worked out. Almost 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Evans had 2 touchdowns. Godwin had 8 for 80. I think 83 in a touchdown. The weird thing with Godwin, though, he actually didn't like fully play in the slot like we expected. But he still was great in the spot, and it's just like the Commanders are who we thought they were on defense. Which was my thought the entire offseason. Like, you can bring in Dan Quinn, you can bring in the DC, who was the defensive backs coach in Dallas last year. You can try to play this man coverage, but they just don't have the personnel. They don't have the players in the back end. And to be fair, you won't be facing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin every single week, but it's just, this is the matchup. This is the best matchup in fantasy football, in my opinion. Passing games against Washington. That's great for checks notes. Daniel Jones up next. Shit. but no, like, Evans, he's awesome. Jalen McMillan had a wide open touchdown, but he played a ton. A lot of three wide sets from the Bucs, so that was good to see. Rashad White, 15 carries for 31 yards, but he made his day with 6 catches for 75 yards on 6 targets. Bucky Irving looked good, 9 for 62 on the ground. He also had 2 catches. There was a couple plays where they were both in the on the field at the same time. I believe there was one play where Rashad White was in the backfield. Bucky was lined up out wide, motioned in. They gave him one of those touch passes. I think Bucky's a nice sleeper waiver wire ad with everybody else getting hyped up. Especially if Rashad White continues to struggle with his efficiency, which was obviously the case all of last season. I'm not worried about Rashad White too much yet, because I do think he'll continue to be pretty involved in the passing game. But, I mean, Bucky clearly showed that he deserves some touches, whereas last year they had nobody that really showed that. For Washington, Jaden Daniels, he was easily the best of the rookie quarterbacks. 17 to 24, 164 yards, no touchdowns. But he adds 2 rushing touchdowns, 16 carries for 86 yards. I think, the 16 carries he had were the 6th most by a rookie quarterback in NFL history in a game. I don't think they want him running the ball 16 times a game. Actually, I can pretty much guarantee that. And he was like, the scheme, or I don't know if it was just whatever, but like, he would snap the ball, look at his first read. If his first read wasn't there, he took off. That was like every play. And I think that'll change, the more he plays and stuff like that. But he took off and ran almost immediately. He had 3 goal line carries as well, tied with Alvin Kamara for the most of week 1. So that's probably going to continue to be a thing with that read option, at the goal line. But yeah, like he threw for less than 170 yards. He didn't score a passing touchdown and was still a top 5 quarterback in the week. Like that's why you want to draft somebody like Jaden Daniels, because the floor is so high. There's going to be ceiling weeks where he connects on some deep passes to Terry McLaurin. He almost had like a 65 yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin that they just couldn't connect on. McLaurin ends up having a terrible game after, but it was a lot of checkdowns and a lot of scrambling for Jaden Daniels. I do think we'll start to see as the weeks go on, more of him kind of staying in the pocket, looking to a second read. But it's also his first career start. But yeah, fantasy wise, you love to see it. And obviously, as we expected, it didn't change what I expected to happen. The pace of play for Cliff Kingsbury was great. And that's going to be the case with his offenses all the time. So it's going to make, that's the other reason, like, targeting players against Washington is going to be so advantageous. Their secondary and their defense is bad, and they are going to continue to play at an unbelievably fast pace. Brian Robinson kind of dominated the backfield here. Eckler got his usage in the passing game. I actually thought, and people won't want to hear this, but I thought Eckler looked pretty explosive in this game. And I thought he looked explosive when I was at Washington camp in preseason. Like, he was hurt last season. He was playing with a high ankle sprain. But Brian Robinson played a ton in this game. Like, 12 carries to Eckler's 2. He was used in the passing game as well. 16 opportunities to Eckler's 6. He was the goal line running back. So, he almost had 2 touchdowns in this game too. He scored in this game, but also was stuffed at the 1 or 2 yard line, and then Jaden Daniels scored. So, Brian Robinson looks like a solid running back too. Eckler's somebody I'd still have my bench maybe start if you're desperate in a full PPR league. I did think he looked good. So moving on, Cleveland and Dallas. Cowboys kind of dominating this one. They win 33-17. Deshaun Watson looked terrible. The Browns offense looked terrible. David Njoku's hurt. He's got a high ankle sprain. Amari Cooper should have had like a 40-plus yard touchdown. Just nothing good from Cleveland other than really Jerome Ford. 12 carries, 44 yards and a touchdown. Dominated the snaps and the opportunities. Also had 6 catches in this game. It's going to be a really solid second running back too until Chubb's back. And we've seen him every time he's got an opportunity. He's gotten a ton of work in the passing game. And that continued today or on Sunday. They have Jacksonville next week. Good spot for him. Browns are really bad. If you have to replace Njoku, I mean, Jordan Akins, who's obviously played with Deshaun Watson in Houston, he had 4 targets, caught three of them for 27 yards. He's going to be involved. A team that, you know, Kevin Stefanski's offenses have been very tight end friendly, so deeper leagues, or if you're just, you know, if you can't get Isaiah Likely, you can't get somebody else, you know, like somebody like Noah Fant or somebody like that, don't sleep on Jordan Akins, assuming Njoku misses some time. For Dallas, CeeDee Lamb, 10 targets, no surprise there. Didn't have a huge game, but didn't really have to either. Jake Ferguson, though, left this game. Avoided serious injury. He's questionable for this week. He could still play. So we have 2 tight ends that might need to be replaced from this game. Kind of same situation. If you have to replace Ferguson, obviously go out and try to get Isaiah Likely first and foremost. But if you can't get him, Jordan Akins, not a terrible option. You know, Taysom Hill, any of those Saints tight ends could be worth a look. But Ferguson said, like, sounds like he has a chance to actually play in week 2. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Zeke and Dowdle kind of split, but Zeke looked okay here. 10 for 40 and a touchdown. It's probably going to be a hot hand approach each week. So unless it's a great, great matchup, I wouldn't be thrilled to start anybody from this backfield. But I thought Zeke looked a lot better than any of us really anticipated. So, all right, we'll take one more final break and we'll close out the final 2 games of the week with Sunday and Monday night's games. A lot of takeaway from those games, injuries as well played a factor. So we'll finish the week 1 recap when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Lions 26, Rams 20. Fun game here on Sunday night, but a lot of injuries. And we'll start with the Rams. Obviously, Puka Nacua, he was in line for a huge game. He had like 5 catches or 4 catches in the first couple drives. Had a carry, and then had a catch, aggravated the knee issue, came back in for a couple plays and just couldn't get it going. He's now been placed on injured reserve. He'll miss at least the next 4 weeks. Brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp, if you draft him in the 3rd, maybe even 4th round, probably going to win your league. And that's not to say like Puka won't be back, but it was evident the first couple drives where Puka was in that Cooper Kupp was needed a massive workload, which we expected, right? 14 catches, 110 yards, 21 targets. He was the first read on 18 of those 21 targets. He scores in this game. A lot of it was short yardage, but that sideline catch with the toe drag was amazing. All this pre-snap motion with Kupp too, like, they're just making sure it's as easy as possible to get him the football. The touchdown he had was awesome. It was after just using so much pre-snap motion all game. They did a play where he came in motion, then went back the other way. And the defender who was on the man assignment in the middle of the field just slipped. And Kupp had the touchdown. He is going to, at least for the next handful of weeks where Puka's out, he's probably going to average like 12 targets a game. Legitimately. So, it's insane. 21 targets. There's also value to be had elsewhere. Like, Tyler Johnson had a good game. He had the 1 explosive play. We know the Rams are going to run 3 wide 90-plus percent of the time, so both Tyler Johnson and DeMarcus Robinson will be on the field. I still like DeMarcus Robinson. He was one of my favorite sleepers coming into the season because of how he finished last season. It was like 16 fantasy points per game once he became the wide receiver 3. And that was with Puka and Kupp playing. Second in the NFL in end zone targets from that stretch. Played a ton. 7 targets in this game. And he's been, last year with Stafford, when these guys were healthy, he was the guy that Stafford looked to in the end zone. So, you can pick up both. I'm still leaning towards DeMarcus Robinson as the preferred option. Colby Parkinson also is definitely somebody that's worth more of a look now. He played like 88% of snaps, caught 4 passes, 47 yards, looked fine. Like, all these guys get a massive bump with Puka out. And then the backfield, Kyren Williams. We didn't see any of Blake Corum. Didn't play an offensive snap in this game. Kyren dominated the workload. It wasn't good, but I don't really care because the Lions' run defense is elite. They're that good. But he scored the touchdown in short yardage. Yes, there's probably going to be some weeks coming up where Blake Corum is active and takes some carries away. But as for right now, this backfield still very much belongs to Kyren Williams. And he ran a ton of routes in this game too. So, if you are still worried that like Blake Corum starts to get involved, maybe you can sell Kyren Williams, but didn't see that in week 1, that's for sure. For Detroit, there's not much to say here. Like, you're not worried about Amon-Ra after one bad game. Same with Sam Laporta. Montgomery and Gibbs were both great. I'm going to say great. They're both good. I thought Jared Goff was terrible in this game. I think the Lions are lucky they won. He was late on all of his throws. He had one play where he scrambled up and got the first down, but he stepped up in the pocket. If he just looked to his right, Amon-Ra St. Brown was on a crossing route to the right side of the field. I don't think anybody was within 15 yards of him. He might have been running for 60 yards and a touchdown. But Goff, a rare bad home game from him in his Lions tenure. They face a Tampa Bay defense next week at home that just lost 3 defensive backs due to injury. So I expect a huge bounce back game from Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But Jameson Williams, love to see that. They made it a focal point to give him the football. It pains my soul, but he had a nasty double move on Trey White that led to a touchdown, a long touchdown. And he looked good. He looked explosive. That element of speed that this offense was desperately missing was there. He had, I think, 7 or 6 first read targets in this game. So a lot of the first read looks went to him. Now, of course, is he suddenly the top option is passing him? Of course not. But Jameson Williams, man, there was a lot of hype, obviously, in the offseason, but he proved why in this game. He looked awesome. Anything else from this game? I don't think so. The Rams' offensive line with some injuries, too. That's definitely concerning. Steve Avila is probably going to miss some time. A versatile player that can play all 5 positions in the line. So, a little concerning for the Rams right now with these injuries. Last game, Monday Night Football. San Fran pretty much handles the Jets in this game. 32-19. You knew this game was going to be slow pace. These are 2 of the slowest pace offenses in the NFL, and that was the case. The problem was, in the second half, San Fran dominated time possession. And the Jets had a lot of 3 and outs. They had the 1 really impressive drive where Garrett Wilson had like 4 for 46. And they scored a touchdown on that drive in the first quarter. And then after that, there was a ton of 3 and outs. San Fran just destroyed them on the run and dominated the time possession. And it really impacted the plays for the Jets. Breece Hall was not good in this game, but the usage was amazing. He played all but 1 snap once, you know, before the starters were pulled. And 21 touches. And he had 21 touches in a game where the Jets offense was barely on the field. He's going to be a monster this season. Garrett Wilson, I think, is also going to be a monster. I thought Rodgers looked fine. He didn't look great by any means, but he looked fine. The mobility is a concern coming off the Achilles at age 40, but the throws he made were good, the anticipatory throws. The 1 back shoulder throw where Wilson in the first quarter, it literally looked like Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. And like, Aaron Rodgers had 21 pass attempts in this game. 10 of them went to Garrett Wilson. Like, Garrett Wilson's going to be awesome this season. I fully believe that. San Francisco, speaking of awesome, how about Jordan Mason? Of course it was tilting that McCaffrey was ruled out when it sounded like he was going to play. Hopefully he's back in week two, but Jordan Mason, 28 carries, 147 yards and a touchdown. Played pretty much all the snaps. There was obviously some snaps where he was out and Debo was in the backfield. Debo had, I believe, 6-8 carries. But Jordan Mason looked really good, like really good. This wasn't like, to me, in my opinion, like, oh, he looked good because the run scheme and the offensive line. Like, granted, San Francisco's offensive line played really well, and granted, the run scheme is obviously great. Jordan Mason was decisive. His vision was great. He made plays after contact. He looked confident. He looked awesome. Now, McCaffrey, like, he might not play in week two against Minnesota. If he doesn't play, given what we just saw from Mason and the usage, he's a must-start player. Like, I have a league where I feel like I have a pretty loaded starting lineup. Like, I'm going to have to start him in my flex, which means I have to bench, like, Devonta Smith. And I don't want to do that because you guys know I love Devonta Smith this year, but, like, I can't bench Jordan Mason if he's starting next week. There's no way. He looked amazing. We'll see on McCaffrey. If he plays, there's a chance he's not getting the same McCaffrey workload to start the week two after what Jordan Mason just did. And they clearly want to be safe with McCaffrey. Didn't feel great on Friday, so they didn't play him. But Jordan Mason, obviously the top waiver ad of the week. If he's not out there already, he should be out there. He shouldn't be out there. He should have been added because guess what? McCaffrey was drafted in 100% of leagues, and we knew McCaffrey was dealing with an injury going into the season. And we knew Elijah Mitchell was on season-ending injured reserve. So the fact that Mason is still out there in leagues is kind of crazy to me, but some leagues out there where he is. Debo's usage was awesome without McCaffrey. 8 carries, 23 yards, and a touchdown. Also added five catches. So looking at 13 opportunities for Debo. Brandon Ayuk. Bad game for him. 2 bad drops, including a touchdown. He was limited like they said he would. I think it was like 60% of the snaps. Better days ahead from him. Better days ahead from Brock Purdy. And George Kittle. George Kittle, 4 for 40 is a great day for him considering the state of the tight end position in fantasy. But yeah, Jordan Mason, we'll have to keep an eye on the status of McCaffrey. If McCaffrey's out again in week 2, Jordan Mason's probably a top 10 running back. So we shall see. But that'll do it for me on the podcast here on the week 1 recap. Excited to be back. Also, the advanced stats hub has been updated for week 2. So if you want some awesome metrics, I'm going to go look at that as I take notes for week 2 right after this. That's live on the site. We're going to have waiver articles live on the site. All the content, Discord. We had subs take home a ton of money in DFS contests this weekend. So that was fun to see. Get access to Discord. Sign up at FTNFantasy.com for all the content. Subscribe, rate, review. It helps us out. And check out all the other podcasts part of FTN Media. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, Mean Streets with Chris Meaney, the Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars. We have you covered in every single aspect of fantasy football here at FTN Fantasy. Good luck on waivers in week 2. We're already in week 2. It's going to fly by. It's going to stink, but we're still so happy that football is back in our lives. Thanks for listening as always. We'll talk to you guys next time. My name is Adam. Peace out. Goodbye.